You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
My name is Ben, and I'm one of the pastors and leaders here. A warm welcome to anyone who is here for the first time. If this is your first time at Sun Life Church, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for making the decision to come here to worship Jesus with us and celebrate Mother's Day. It means the world to me that you're here to together as people to worship God and slow down and remember Him. You know, we've been saying that today is not just about the mums, but all the ladies in our lives, to our grandmothers, our daughters, our sisters, our aunties, even the mums who have left us and, you know, waiting for us in heaven. So we remember all the beautiful mums there. And so today we want to celebrate every lady here. And I've got a short message for the ladies. But I also want the men to pay attention as well too. It's a message for everyone, but I want to speak to the ladies here. And so if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. That's where we are. Let me read the Word of God. Chapters 5, verses 1 to 10, 2 Corinthians. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and we are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. And the last verse, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This is the word of the Lord. This is the passage for this morning. And I want this message as an encouragement to the women, but also to the men as well. The very first five verses of this passage here, Paul uses the language of tents and building. He's actually comparing the present physical body and the future glorious body. He says that the present physical body, what we have, right, that it's like a tent, okay? And the future glorious body, which is to come, is like a building, an eternal house built by God. I mean, tents are great for camping, but the reality is that tents don't last. Tents are temporary. I have a picture here of a canvas tent that we used to have. We've had this tent now for 10, 15 years. It laid to rest probably a few years ago on the verge of the road during the annual bulk collection, because it was all, you know, ruined. So we know that tents don't last. However, buildings, they last a long time. Certain parts of Europe, you will see buildings that would be around 2,000 years old. And so what Paul is doing at the very beginning of this section, he's saying, is that one day Christians, if you love Jesus, if you follow Jesus, you will be given a glorious body, a physical glorious body that will last. And that is some great news for us if we are following Jesus. Like, if you are a Christian, that is guaranteed for you. And that means that today, right, we don't have to keep up with the Kardashians. Like, we there's so much pressure today, right? Like, you look around the world, you look on social media, there's pressure to have, what, smooth skin. There's pressure to have that nice figure eight body, large eyes, luscious hair, pearly white teeth with a perfect smile. Is that right? And that's just for the guys, right? That's just for the blokes there, right? And there's more pressure for the women, right? That's the reason why the cosmetic industry, right, in our country this year is expected to make an earning of around $12 billion in our country. And it says that we, as human beings, we are happy to spend a lot of money to look young. We want to slow down the aging process. We want to stay young forever. And we would put money into supplements and proteins and exercise and cosmetics and Botox and surgery just to keep this physical body young. I'm getting quite old. Everyone thinks that I'm in my 30s. Thank you if you think that I'm in my 30s. I love you a lot. But I'm 50, and I don't look like it. I know that. I don't look like that. Praise God for my mom's Asian genes, all right? But I'm feeling every bit of it. I have chronic neck pain for the last 17 years, still painful. I have pain on my right elbow. Maybe it's the golf. I don't know. It could be. I can't see that well. I can no longer see you if I take off these glasses. I was jumping in the young people's mosh pit 2 years ago, if you remember that moment, praising and worshiping my risen Lord Jesus Christ, and I tore my calf muscle. Don't laugh. It was second grade tear. That close to surgery for praising my risen Lord. And I've just realized that I'm falling apart. My GP just recently said this to me. He says, Ben, you are no longer a brand new car. Okay. You are a car made in the 70s with a leaking engine. That's what he said to me. He's a Christian as well, too. And I get what he's saying. He's saying that when we are young, the body is fit and healthy. But as we get older, things will leak. Things will fall apart. But look what the text says, is that one day, Paul says, one day you will have a glorious physical body which will last. Not a tent, but a building made by God himself. And that's the promise for those in Christ. Now, to understand chapter 5, we need to just go back to the end of chapter 4. Now, go back with me to chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. Paul writes, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. You see what he's doing? He's saying is that if you know Christ, there is a guarantee one day that there is a physical body, a resurrected body that you can't see now, but it is yours and it's going to last forever, and that is our hope. And we don't have to worry about the things that happen here. And even if it begins to waste away or fall apart, it is okay, because God promised us that one day there is a resurrected, future, glorious body that would never fade away. That's why, if you read again at the very beginning of this section in chapter 5, verse 1, he says this, for we know that if the earthly tent, this body here, we live in, is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. You notice how, if you look carefully at the text, he uses the present tense. We have a building from God. Interesting, right? Like, Paul knew that this eternal, glorious body is yet to come, but right here, he would use the present tense. You know why? He is so confident that it is his that he speaks as if it's already his. in the present tense. Anyone here has ever ordered anything online before? Like you've purchased something online and you've selected the item and you select it and you're going to purchase it. And then you make the purchase and then you give them your credit card details and it's already purchased. It's yours and you get the email confirmation that you've purchased that item. Like you know it's yours, even though you haven't received it yet, you haven't touched it or seen it or enjoyed it, it's already yours. And you begin to speak as if it's yours. I have this. This is mine. That's what Paul is doing right here. He says to these amazing people, guess what? It's already mine. It's already yours, this future body. I have confidence that this will be yours one day. Go to verse 6. Look what he says. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. You see what he's doing right there? He says that if we're still here on earth in this physical body, we are away from Jesus, which means that one day we will be united with Jesus, and on that resurrection, that great day of the Lord, we will have this glorious resurrected body, eternal bodies, heavenly bodies that will never die, never get sick, never get old, which means no more makeup, no more Botox, no more painkillers, because that body is a glorious body that will last, not like a tent, but a building that God made. And that's the hope that we have. I want to quote you from Thomas Schrender, a great New Testament scholar. He says this, the Bible is not Gnostic. The Bible does not view spiritual life as better than physical life. Our future life is life in the body, but thankfully, it is a body untouched by sin. It is a body that will be raised from the dead and clothed with power and beauty. I don't know if you actually know this, but can I just say that one day you will enjoy Jesus forever, not in a spiritual body, a physical body. That's true. We all think that one day heaven is us with Jesus, God, in the spirit. No. What happens is that when you die, you'll be united with him. Philippians talks about this in the spirit. But we wait for that day, the parousia, the second coming, the Lord's day, where our body will be resurrected and we will have physical bodies. Physical bodies, which means we'll still eat, which means that we will still be playing. I believe there'll be a nice golf course up there somewhere. Actually, no, down here. The new heavens is here. Like, I believe that we'll still eat. So can I say that for all those chefs, you're still working because you still have to cook. And I'm not joking. It's true. All the doctors, you've got no jobs because there's no more pain. Bad luck, guys. All the pastors and preachers, we're out of any job because there's no need to evangelize or preach. But I would say that all the chefs, you're still working. You better start improving and work better, right? Okay? And that's what the Bible teaches us. And so the New Testament tells us that one day we will have this physical body. And then look at this from verses 7 to 10, the very last part of the section. Paul says, if you know that, this is how you ought to live. Three things to consider. And this is for the ladies and the gents as well. Whilst we wait for that glorious body, this is how we ought to live. Number one, we live faithfully. Two, we live pleasingly. And three, we live accountably. We see that in the text. And let me go through each one of them. Look at the very first one. Live faithfully. Look in verse 7. For we live by faith and not by sight. You know what the context here is? This is that what Paul is saying is that whilst we wait for this great body, you and I, we ought to live by faith. The context here is the resurrected body. You know, faith means a lot of things. Faith means that, trusting God, depending upon God, and that's faith. But the faith here, right, it talks about how you live in a way where your hope is in that resurrected body. Sometimes we hear this verse quoted a lot. You know, we live by faith and not by sight. Yeah, we hear that a lot, yeah? That's Corinthians in the context of the resurrected body. And so what Paul is saying is this. If you know that that is yours, this wonderful future hope, this physical, glorious body, and even if this is breaking away, it's okay. Live as if it's already yours. That's what it means. Live knowing where your future is. That's what faith means. To live with the certainty, the assurance of what you don't see, but know it is yours. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We don't see the future glorious body. We can't touch it. But we are to live knowing that it's ours. That's what it means to live by faith. You live in a way knowing that whatever happens, it happens. On my drive to here, my wife was reading a message from a friend over east in Queensland. And he's got a 18-month boy with cerebral palsy. On the right side of his brain, there is damage. And they're about to do some work on the right side. But then the wife messaged Tran saying that, unfortunately, now they've also found damage on the left side. So now this poor 18-month boy has got damages on both sides of his cerebral, his brain. And my heart just, you know, pours out for this family. I cry out for this family. But I know, whatever happens to this young boy here, that God has a future glorious body waiting for him. And his parents know that. And they're trusting God and they're praying for God's miraculous healing power and for strength. To live by faith, not by sight in the context of this chapter, means that whatever happens to this body here, it's okay. Because I know what's guaranteed, that one day I will have a glorious body where there's no pain, no disease, no sickness, that I get to enjoy forever with my Creator. My friend lost his wife a couple years ago, a dear friend of mine, through cancer. And at her memorial service, there was a video of her, and she said in that video, towards the last few months or weeks of her life, she says, I just want to die well. I want to die in a way where people could see the hope that I have in Jesus. You know, you will only die well if you live by faith and not by sight. You live by sight, you look at all the things around you and you look at your situation, you panic. And you get very anxious and worried, and you might even lose your temper and not be a nice person to be around. But if you learn to look at the unseen and trust in the Word of God, that God guarantees a future resurrected, glorious, eternal body that will not fall apart, that will not die, then you can die well. You can live in a way where you are non-anxious. You live in a way where you're a person of peace. And even if there's issues with health or with your career or with whatever's before your relationship, you know the Word of God is very, very clear that at the end of the day, it will work out good for all those who love Christ. That you will have this a wonderful body where you get to enjoy God forevermore and you can live with such hope in the midst of suffering and pain. That's living by faith and not by sight. I encourage every woman, every man here, whilst we wait for that great day, we live faithfully. Amen? Secondly, we live pleasingly. Look in verse 9. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. You ask the average Aussie, what is your life goal? And usually the reply would be things like this: get married, maybe have kids, get rich, buy a nice house, travel around the world, maybe work for a large, huge company. And all those things are wonderful. I think it's important that we have to have personal visions and life goals. We should. If you don't have any goals, any purpose, you'll probably end up living with your parents in their garage or granny flat until the coming of Jesus Christ. You've got to have a personal goal. You've got to have a want, a vision for your life, right? We all need a reason to live, right? We all got to have something to pursue. But can I share with you the right personal goal? It should be this: please the Lord with your life. That's the correct personal life goal for every one of us here who have made the decision to follow Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your life goal and my life goal is to live pleasingly. There have been many times Holy Spirit has searched my heart. God has really done some work in my heart over the years, and he would ask me questions like, Ben, what is your purpose in this life? Like, what are you living for, Ben? Are you living for yourself? Are you living for others? Or are you living for me? And this is what I've learned over the years of following Jesus, that to please Jesus often looks like choosing obedience over convenience. That's what I've learned. Like, God speaks to you and you hear him through his word. You hear him through the pastor, the preacher. You hear them through situation, and you know exactly what God wants of you. And now you have to do something about it. And what I've learned is that when I choose to obey God over my convenience, that's when I'm pleasing God. Because a lot of the times I tend to say, God, I know what you want of me, but I can't do it. Because God, it's impossible. I give myself all these excuses. I don't know if you're giving yourself excuses. You know clearly what God wants of you. And you're like, God, I don't have the time. God, don't you know we just started a family? God, don't you know that I've got to try to do this with my company? God, I don't have the finances. God, I just can't do it. And you come up with so many reasons and so many excuses. And look, they're all valid. Don't get me wrong. They're all valid. But I've realized that pleasing God often means choosing to obey God over me. It's obedience over convenience. John Chrysostom says this, that our business is not to please ourselves, but God. A convenience usually means it pleases me. It's what I want. This is the pace that I want to live my life. This is how I want to see my life unfold. So it's all about pleasing me. But clearly the early church father says, no, our business is not to please the flesh, but to please the Creator, God himself. So brothers and sisters, make it your life goal, whatever it is, to please the Lord. And if God is speaking to you and you know clearly what he wants of you, oh, just pray to him and say, God, will you give me the courage, the strength to obey you, to put you at the center, because I want to bring glory and honor to you, because pleasing you is the most important thing to me. Amen? Here's the third thing and final thing. Live accountably. Last verse, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You see what Paul is saying? Every one of us, one day, we have to stand before Jesus as judge. Let me give you an example. Here's an example. Let's say I say to you, there's a court hearing in 3 months' time, and you have to stand before the judge, and your actions over the next 3 months will be assessed by the judge. How will you live out those next 3 months? I'm pretty sure you'll live differently, don't you think? Every one of us will give an account of what we have done for him in this life. But let me just make it very, very clear that our salvation is not based on what we do, based on what Christ has done for us. All right? Martin Luther puts it like this: we are saved by faith alone. In other words, our trust in Jesus, what he has done, saves us. But the faith that saves us is never alone. So what Luther is saying is that when you are saved by the grace and the faith in Jesus, that saving grace of God changes you and you end up living a life doing good works for God. So can I just make it very clear that we are saved by Jesus, not what we do. All right? That's why we are called Sun Life Church. You know that, right? Sun Life Church reminds everyone that we're actually saved by the Son. So in 1 John 5, where we get the name of this church, is this: and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You see that? So we have eternal life, security, because we believe in the Son. That's Jesus Christ. And so you will go to heaven, all right? It's like, say, Jeff, where's Jeff? Jeff is in the middle there. Jeff, a few weeks ago, he gave my sons free tickets to watch the West Coast Eagles versus the Dockers. And I understand why, because he did not want to endure the suffering of watching the Eagles play. So he gave my two sons free tickets to the Western Derby, and my son walked through the gates of Optus Stadium. Why? Because they were given free tickets. We can walk through the gates of heaven. Why? Because Jesus gave his life for us. Yeah? So that is something I want to make it very, very clear. But here's the thing. Listen carefully. Everyone will face this question from God: what have you done with that redeem, ransom life? Everyone. I'm sorry, but that's what the Word of God says. You have to give an account of what you have done. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. You are saved, but God's going to say, what did you do with your life? I saved you, and what did you do with it? Did you just relax and cruise into glorification, or did you make the most of that life? That's the question that Jesus will ask every one of you, me as well. And I don't want to scare anyone, and this is not a message to condemn you, but it's a message to awaken you that one day you will stand before Jesus and he'll ask you that question: what did you do? I gave you one talent. What did you do? I gave you two talents. I gave you five. What did you do? Did you dig a hole and hide it because you were scared or you were lazy? What did you do? And so for some of us here today, you have to give an account of what you're doing. What are you doing? Are you sharing your hope and your faith in Jesus? Are you witnessing Christ to your children, parents? Are you contributing to proclaiming the good news? Are you serving with the talents that God has given you for his glory? I don't want to condemn anyone, but as your pastor, I have to say what the Word of God is telling me is that we all have to give an account. And the Lord will ask us that question: what did you do? And for some of you here, it's an invitation to do something, not to condemn you. I'm not finger pointing. I'm just saying, as your pastor, I have a responsibility to show you this, because one day you will stand before him. And it might be your last Sunday today. There's no guarantee about next week. There's no guarantee about life. But as long as we're still alive, as long as we're still here in this tent, in this body, as we wait for that glorious building one day, we have an opportunity to make the most of this life. So for some of us here, I just want you to think about that. Oh, Pastor, you don't get it. I'm just so busy. You don't get it. I just don't have the time. You don't get it. I've got a young family. You don't get it. I just don't have the resources. I get it. I understand that. But there will be no excuses on that day. No excuses. So whatever talents, whatever you have, I want you to use it. Don't be part of a church where all you do is you come here and you sing a few songs and you hear me scream and shout and you go home. No, I want you to be part of the family. That I need you and you need me. And some of us are ears and eyes and fingers and feet and arms and legs. We are the body of Christ. We need each other. We need to serve one another. We need to support one another. So whatever gifts, use it for the glory of God. And I know that God is speaking to some of you. Find a serve team. Get into a community. Belong to what, to a connect group, a common group. Be part of what God is doing here. Otherwise, what are you going to say in that day? What are you going to say in that day? So whilst we wait for that glorious, eternal, resurrected body in this tent, in this physical, broken, fallen body, we are to live faithfully. We are to live what? Pleasingly. And we are to live what? Accountably. For all the women there and the men as well. May we make the most of this life. Amen. We've got a song that we want to dedicate to all the ladies. But before we sing the song, I want to pray a prayer of blessing upon you all. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone. Lord, I ask you to bless Sun Life Church. Your blessing fall upon the people here. May they know that they are so loved by you. May they know that it's your grace that has saved them. And may we all live in hope of this resurrected, glorious, eternal body. A body that will never break down or fall sick or die. And as we wait for that great day, may we all here live faithfully. Live by faith and not by sight. May we live pleasingly to please you, Lord. May that be our personal life goal, vision, to please you. And remind us, Lord, that one day we would stand before you, give an account of what we have done. May we live accountably. Bless this church. Bless all the mothers and mothers-to-be and sisters and aunties and daughters and grandmothers. Bless all these beautiful ladies in this church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.